Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Crown. I'm an independent animator, and I've been doing that for a couple years now.
And I'm Onionskin. I'm a studio animator, so I'm used to working in TV and film with lots of other people. So between our two experiences, this should be some fun.
So you'll be able to tune in every week on Monday, or I guess Tuesday if you're sort of on the other side of the world, and we'll be talking about animation-related stuff. Different topics that people don't really talk about, like when to quit a project, when to reveal what you're working on.
I'm looking at our old spreadsheet here. Scripts versus storyboard driven, making money on boring animation live streams.
Yes.
Oh, whether or not to Patreon, that'll be a good one. And we've got a huge, big, crazy list. Like, we're not going to run out of stuff to talk about anytime soon. But that doesn't stop your involvement. If you have other suggestions, of course, always leave them in suggestions. It's good to have involvement. We found that our conversations were interesting enough to want to broadcast them. And having you involved as well makes it all more interesting for everyone and building up our community.
All right, so without further ado, let's get started on the first episode, which is kind of where we were trying to figure out the show a little bit.
So we're going to take you back in time now to, as we're just, obviously we're still figuring this all out, because I'm stumbling over my words a lot. Ignore that. Enjoy, bye.
We have this huge list of topics and we just have only talked about what we came up with that wasn't even on the list.
That's okay. It means like overall we should have enough to keep us going for like at least a year.
The fun part about it is because I did a little bit of research and the other podcasts that we're quote unquote competing with, but podcasts that are similar to us are very formal. So I think if we're more personable and more like hosts and talk about people stuff.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of charm in that, and I prefer listening to that kind of thing too.
Yeah.
It's more like inviting people into the room.
We were talking a little bit about branding for this. So first off, we need some kind of intro.
Well, if we're recording, that's fine. We can be discussing how our intro is.
Well.
And witness the birth of an idea.
You're going to come up with the intro right now of this podcast. I kind of been thinking about it all week and I haven't really...
We still don't have a name.
We don't have a name. They have names. Write that down and circle it. The other thing I was wondering is if we should use our mascots or if we should do something different. So... I was going to say, I don't know if I would use Scribbles for this and instead do like a person, a human character that is me.
Golly, that's I wasn't expecting that. Because I thought like having the two characters, like they're already sort of recognized, like they sort of stand out already and they're sort of compatible-ish as well. So I think we're fine to leave them as is without... breaking anything. It sort of just reinforces branding, if anything.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering your thoughts on that, because you probably haven't dealt with this, but on my end, there's this community of people called furries. Do you know anything about furries?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, I know what furries are.
So I often get branded as a furry, and that's negative, which was my concern with the branding for this, if maybe I did something different. I don't really know.
So would you like to step back from that this time?
I'm not so sure now, after your feedback.
I think your character's fine, because that term gets thrown around pretty loosely now. It's like, oh, you have an animal-based character. That's all it has to be. The only reason why I'm not in the same boat is because I base my one on a vegetable.
I know, I'm jealous. Like, you're safe. You're the safe zone of vegetable and onion. Dang it.
Yeah, it's like no one's made weird niches out of inanimate objects yet.
Okay, so actually, if you're not worried about it...
I wouldn't be worried about it. If people kick up a stink and they want to put it under a particular label, that's their problem.
Okay.
It's an interesting spot because characters like these, they're in this like sort of weird middle ground where are they a character or are they just you with a different face?
A persona.
Yeah, because like, and it's probably a little bit more extreme in your case because like some of the shows, like they are scripted to a bit and, you know, there will be story that shines through.
Yeah.
as opposed to just being you talking normally, which is like I sort of stumbled into it by accident. Like I was using like cartoon representations or having like myself appear in video, and the Onion was just a mascot. And it started appearing in some videos and then sort of started appearing at the same time I was speaking, and people in the audience would address me as Onion Skin. So it sort of just happened by accident. So I sort of just...
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so making the puppet was sort of just taking ownership of it a little bit more. Being like, okay, well, people start to recognize me now by this. And if that works and people like it, then... you know, might as well.
Yeah.
I felt strange using the same voice, being like, okay, well, if it's a character, maybe it should be a character. And I give him a personality and give him a voice. But then I thought, if I'm doing that for tutorials, people are coming here to learn how to use a program and I'm using some goofy voice. Hell no.
No.
I'm not putting up with some dumb voice for an hour.
Yeah. That's funny that you're telling that story. I'm glad that I'm recording right now. Because this sounds like good episode content with development of the podcast itself. But
what is a persona?
Yeah, with Scribble Kibble, what happened was I decided to make the show to fill a gap because I was making these animations, but I felt like I could produce more content if I had some kind of commentary vein type thing where I just talk about stuff. So I polled people on what the name should be, and when everybody thought, oh, Scribble Kibble, yeah, I like that name. And then I thought, oh, cool, because now the mascot could be a wolf. And I like wolves. So that's how the mascot came about. It wasn't as if the mascot existed and then the show.
Wait, how did you jump to wolf?
Well, I just really like wolves.
Okay, I was thinking that you're drawn to that conclusion because of the name.
Yes, if the name had been different, the mascot would have been different. It would probably still been an animal.
Wait, so that means the words do mean wolf somehow?
Well, Scribble Kibble, you know, kibble, like dog kibble.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, dog or wolf mascot, like dog-like mascot would fill in with the name and it would go together.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, like mine happened quite by accident. Like that too, because I just had like generic regular branding, and I was trying to figure out what sort of logo there should be. What it'd be like, okay, Onion and keyframes and stuff like that. But the result always ended up looking kind of rude. So
you're working with circles and lines.
Like a cross section of an onion is way too easily to be perceived as something else. And then I thought, well, it's a cartoon. I'm teaching people how to make cartoons. It doesn't need to be like serious branding. I'll just write the word by hand because I suck at choosing a font, and I did a few different versions of the character and had people help out with their interpretations as well, and then the final result was a bit of an amalgamation of everything, and that just fit and it stayed the same for several years.
But the character is, I mean, in my opinion, really well designed and cute. Did you have that design right off the bat, or did you go in and redraw it eventually to improve it?
It was always an onion with a face, and I wanted it to be like cute and excited, like its fists all bunched up in that like sort of oh, I can't wait to get into it sort of thing. So that was always there. The specifics of like where it was drawn was a little up in the air. Like there's pages of just sort of mucking around concept art. And had a friend and colleague help out until it sort of just got settled. It all happened very fast though. Like when I stumbled across the right thing, all those designs happened in one evening after several months of changing the look. When I found the right one, I was like, yep, this is it. And I hesitate having changed it now for the new season. But I felt like I'd been gone for a long enough time. And usually whenever I go and come back, it's very, very flaky. Like I'll come back for a few weeks, put some videos out, then go again, and there's never really any context for it. So this time I wanted to demonstrate, no, I'm back for good. I'm putting in a lot of energy. There's stuff coming out like every day. I'm treating it as like a fresh season. So rebranding it seemed like an appropriate time. It's quite a drastic change to what it was before, and it probably isn't as like well-designed and all coherent, because it's got like sci-fi elements, and then there's other parts that are still cartoony, and then there's a puppet in there, and it's probably not the most professional thing I've done. And there's some viewers that have commented on that, being like, oh, I don't know if this is working for me. And I take that feedback into account, and I'll probably continue to adjust it and tweak it as it goes on. But I had to do it all in a hurry, because when I made the decision to come back, it all happened. I was like, oh, I need something now.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting around with nothing being produced or being posted when that is your new job. You don't want to be sitting.
Yeah.
I mean, in my case, I'm working on development of season 3, and I wasn't able to work on it for about 6 months because I was finishing the last episode, and now I'm just stuck in development hell, and probably no episodes are going to be ready until 2019. So my channel is literally sitting with no content on it right now.
Oh, good thing we're making these then.
Yeah, so this is great.
Oh, phew, that's a relief. yeah, so one reason why the channel in the old version, it never had any updates or tweaking to its look at all. Because any opportunity to improve stuff, I would just say, well, I could be doing that, or I could be making videos. And just making more content always won out. And that's still sort of the case now, where I was like, okay, well, I need to rebrand it, but I could spend months exploring different design ideas, and in the end it doesn't really matter because I only get a few hundred viewers anyway, so I'm just going to sort of make something up on the fly that I like. I enjoy making like glowy, mechanically moving sci-fi stuff, and I also like over-the-top cartoony stuff. Maybe I can mash it together and maybe it'll work, and if it doesn't, I'll just sort of tweak it over time. It's probably a weird thing for me to say as someone who's trying to teach people about this stuff. But
no, because it's all about, I mean, a lot of it is experimenting, and a lot of it is taking what you like, because what would be the point if you weren't doing what you like? So I really like drawing animals, so of course the majority of my characters are just cute little animals.
Yeah, I guess you're not wrong, and I guess most of the stuff I teach is more on the technical side of things, how to work this as opposed to how to design stuff. Well, YouTube's a lot more short-term content as well. Mm-hmm. One reason why I like it is because you can conceive an idea and publish it the same day, versus the, you know, the studio-based stuff where it can take, simply between coming up with an idea and entering development, can take over half a decade.
Yeah.
That's common. The pitching and the back and forth, let alone actually putting it together, that's another several years of designing and figuring it out. So I like, and that's, I think, why I've moved between both fields, is I like sinking my teeth into a large project, but then after that, I also like the sensation of just pumping stuff out and having an immediate response, releasing it and then seeing what people think right away, rather than waiting through a marketing period and having it go out. And if it's on television, there is no comments section.
You so want the instantaneous feedback.
Yeah, you don't get that with, like, large-scale media, especially if it's a kid's show.
And, in fact, by the time that the show airs, you're not working on it anymore. In fact, you probably don't even remember how that episode you're looking at came together and all the weird stuff that happened.
Oh, no, you remember.
Do you?
You remember.
Okay, I was going
to
say,
when you watch a final version of an episode, it's difficult to get immersed in the story. You're sitting there cross-legged with a hand, like T-Mouth, being like, oh, God. Like, just noticing all the bits, all the intricate bits that either people won't notice or you hope they won't notice. It's like, oh man, like you remember the day that happened, and
oh no,
that we narrowly avoided that scenario.
I was not expecting that, because at least from the voice actor perspective, you know, a lot of the times they're voicing for the next season already when the previous one is airing, and they don't remember much about like how all of that went down specifically. But I guess on the
indeed, but it's very fast for them.
And the animation side, it's different because you have to look at it and you have to work with it for a month or
spend 18 months with these characters, and you know every hair on their head intricately. You know their personalities and how they move, and the fact that, you know, something in the background changed position between two shots and wasn't quite continuity-wise. So I would love for there to be more DVD commentaries from the animators. It's always the cast.
Yeah, isn't that a real shame? It's the same at conventions. It's hard to get... I don't even know that it's hard, but most people want the celebrity faces of the show, and that's the cast. That's the voice actors.
And I'd love for that to mix up. And, like, live-action stuff as well. Because it's like, okay, who played Thanos? This guy. I can't remember. But how cool would it be if we eventually get to the point where it's like, Thanos played by this entire team of of animators. He's the guy who put the little hairs on his chin paws.
Here's, you know, the camera person in that. And of course we're interested in that stuff because we are animators, though. I mean, for...
It must be quite a story. I want to hear the journey of the guy who put the hairs on Thanos' skin pores.
Yeah.
What was it like doing... It happens sometimes. There's a read between the frames that I've been wanting to do forever, which is an analysis on Iron Man's HUD. All the holograms and stuff that comes up.
Oh.
There is like a small behind the scenes portion in the first Iron Man film where they talk about developing it. And I've seen screenshots of like the Node Network, which is just nuts. There's so much going on. And when you do look at those scenes frame by frame, like... everything is thought out. Like, it is like a functioning operating system, and it's rad.
So you mentioned Node Network. Is that a Toon Boom? Are they using Toon Boom for that?
No, they use Nuke.
Nuke. Okay, all right. But still Node-based.
Yeah, so MS Paint is to Photoshop, as After Effects is to Nuke.
Got it.
So, like, okay. After Effects is the MS Paint in this scenario.
Nuke that is
insane. Wow. It's huge.
I cannot really fathom a program like that. I just can't imagine. You'd have to be a programmer, I think.
Well, no, not quite. It's because it's heavily node-based, it is all about building those node-based machines that sort of do stuff. Whereas After Effects is very linear. You know, you have to construct everything together layer by layer. So a lot of the time you can get there in the end, but you just don't have that same flexibility.
Ah, okay.
And because Nuke is built for like a lot of that stuff, like the hybrid... animation, live action stuff. So there's some really good behind the scenes of like the Transformers films, for example, where they have all of the trackers on location, like in the field or like that pyramid scene or whatever in one of them. So that when it enters the program, Nuke is able to basically construct the real world scenery with depth. So when they put the robot in there, they're not just sort of superimposing its perspective, like it's sitting in a physical representation of that location. So that's how they can manage to get all the lighting and texturing and all that sort of stuff to have those robots look like they really are sitting in a real life location.
Okay. Yeah, I get it now because you can do that with After Effects, but to that level of precision, no. I mean, you can create a multi-plane tracker, but it's not the same as what you're describing.
Well, it's kind of like, so you've been a Flash user for many years. How much of your workflow was workarounds?
Was workaround? I mean, you don't realize it's a workaround until you open something like Toon Boom. And then the funny thing is, you'll be in Toon Boom and you have to create workarounds to do stuff that used to be much easier. Yeah. So
I think it's that kind of thing where you have to sort of like trick the program into doing what you really want to do.
Yeah, you can do it, but you gotta work around.
And I think a program like Nuke, it doesn't really do anything for you. You've kind of got to build it up from the ground up. After Effects is a...
Oh, wait, there's no animate button?
No animate button. Well, something like After Effects often does have an animate button. It has all those plugins and pre-built effects. I'm sure Nuke does as well. So what's an example? Okay, Toon Boom does not have an inner glow.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
By making a glow sort of loop back on itself with a series of masks and cutters to make something that is the approximate shape of the thing that you're doing that fires the glow inwards. Once you've built that, you can sort of box it up and save it to your library. You have it forever. But you have to figure out how to make one. Then I open something like DaVinci, which is an editing program that also has a node-based editor. Like, it just has, like, an inner glow just sitting there.
Drag it.
Photoshop has one just sitting there. So the less that's done for you, the more flexibility you have. So it's like an open-world game versus, like, a very, like, tight, linear one.
That's... You know, we were talking about tablets. That's, with these different tablets, it's the same thing. The less that is done for you, the more flexibility. So some tablets have a pressure sensitivity setting where you choose between, like, high, medium, and low. Other tablets have a curve that you can adjust.
Oh, cool.
they don't do it for you. They didn't make these presets for you. You get to control that.
Windows and Mac is probably a really good example for that. Like the ease of use versus flexibility scale. That's what I was after. Macs are really easy to use, but the things that they're not made for, they just won't do it. Like, it is impossible. Windows, you can kind of make it do literally anything you want, but you gotta learn a bit more. And then like something like Linux is like that again. You can make it do anything, but you've really got to know your stuff to figure it out.
What did we start out talking about?
Oh yeah, that's right. We were meant to spend this whole episode figuring out what our intro was going
to
be.
Oh yes, right. Whoops. Well, we weren't even supposed to be recording an episode, but we ended up recording one anyway. Great.
That's okay.
That's fine.
It's easy work for us. There's one more week off the calendar.
Conclusion to this episode.
Well, maybe we should figure out what our intro is
first. Well, no, yeah. Just...
rather than leave it on a meaty cliffhanger and people are like, well, that was some clickbait. I wanted to hear about your intro and you started talking about node networks for 20 minutes. Okay, so you want some sort of animated intro then?
Oh, no. We don't need an animated intro. I meant intro as in, what do we say to introduce each episode? Like, hello.
Oh, well, our intros have been happening by accident.
Have they?
Like, the conversation sort of just starts. So maybe it should just be like a little jingle and the logo pops up and then it just starts.
Oh, okay. I'm actually fine with that, but we do need the little jingle. It's just that each episode should have something consistently to kick it off. If it's something we say.
If there was like a catchphrase intro, then we'd lose the train of thought of what we were talking about.
I don't know if it was just like, hey, welcome to the name of our show that we haven't invented yet, and we'll hopefully figure out.
This probably could get rescheduled as episode one, and then we finish it with saying, what should we call it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think, if anything, this episode would go up to the front, because we talk about development of stuff.
Yeah, you've seen a decent range of the kinds of things that we like to talk about, I suppose. But when it comes to naming it, we're drawing a blank. Like, total blank.
Drawing a blank.
Well, I think any witty-based animation segment names we've already used for other shows that we make.
No, what if we just call it Drawing a Blank?
Holy cow.
You just said it.
Whoa! I like it.
I actually like it.
It fits the looseness of it as well.
Yeah, it does.
Just sort of bouncing from topic to topic a little bit with a very loose framework. And that way, if there are those like weird 5-second pauses, that's like a catchphrase.
Oh my
gosh.
You're
like reading between, you like look at the negative space, read between the lines.
We just, now the negative space needs to stay in.
Whenever that happens, we can just be like, oh, drew a blank. And then like a fancy jingle will play and we'll be like, buy t-shirts.
Oh, great. Good. We got our name. What do you know?
Wow.
That's great.
What a great way for that to come up. I'm glad we recorded that. All right. Good ending.
All right.
High five.
And of course that ending was too perfect, because a week later I was in a live stream and one of my friends pointed out that Drawing a Blank is a new live stream by the people who make Cyanide and Happiness. So now we have to come up with a new name. So there's our actual name up in the title of this episode. And I mean, it's probably a good thing that we had to come up with another name, because this one is more unique and searchable. Yay! See you in episode 2.